This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And now we're moving on to a story that really quite a sad story that's been highlighted in the media. An orphanage in Kajang essentially left 30 children trapped with really no adult to care for them as the aftermath of a COVID-19 outbreak. And so this got us thinking about the impact of COVID-19 on care homes and what more needs to be done to make sure that people who live in these spaces don't fall through the cracks. So this story came to light from a story reported in Malaysia Kini yesterday as part of a donation drive for residents that have been trapped in an orphanage in Kajang. Essentially, the homeowner of that orphanage, known as Tok Ayah, passed away last week after being admitted to Hospital Sungai Buloh. And his wife is still being treated at the hospital. Meanwhile, the orphanage, which is run by the Pertubuhan Kebajikan Anak Yatim Umi, houses 35 boys and girls. Of them, 26 have actually tested positive for COVID-19. Now, the person who alerted the authorities was actually the neighbor, Azad Muhammad Umar. And he was the one who made the call to raise funds because these children had essentially been left without supervision. They weren't able to cook for themselves. They've been running out of food supplies. And the children of those homeowners who were infected with COVID-19, they had been helping with running the orphanage, but they couldn't enter the home as they were under home quarantine. So as you can imagine, a really dire situation and really a situation that I think ends up being something we don't think about too much. So that's what we want to talk about today, this idea of what happens with homes as we are facing rising numbers, what happens with the residents in these homes, and how do they manage what sorts of help they need. So we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts on the situation? You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And to tell us more about the situation in places like care centres as we deal with the pandemic, we're now crossing over to social activist Syed Azmi from Rumah Bonda, which is a transit home for pregnant teenagers. Azmi, thanks for being with us today.
Hi, your voice is a great sound of fresh air. I'm very glad that I said yes to this.
Oh, thank you so much. Let's start with care centres, right? And the challenges that they have had to deal with over the last year. What have you been hearing?
I'm with them, actually, because Rumah Bonda is a transit home for pregnant girls. So we have teenagers and even babies as young as 3 days, 4 days old. So we are actually at a max capacity. And so it's all at the home. So before this, I guess it was we go to school, the children go to school, they run activities, CSR by companies, every day is fulfilled. But then again, whatever happens in your house, such as PDPR and all the gadgets and all that, also happens in these children's home. It's the same, it's just that we kind of like have an institution where there's a lot of children at the same time. Whereas before this, they go to school, there's timetabling, there's all these other classes. So it's just different. I wouldn't want to say difficult, but it's just different. And we thought every month this would be the last, but it doesn't seem to be happening.
What are some of the SOPs that they've had to follow, particularly given that we're talking about a relatively large number of people living in a relatively small space?
Mm. Well, okay, so the SOP, standard like any other SOPs, you know. However, all homes now, we believe that all homes now limit visitations. So we limit visitors, we limit activities. We cannot go out, nobody can really come in. Mental health is a big issue. So we just try to make do with what we have and the capability inside it. For one of the homes before the one in Kajang, there was a home in Johor Bahru where, because in that particular home, the children, some of the children goes to hospital every day. And then one of them caught COVID. And the whole house has to be like a lockdown. And that was the first scariest thing I've ever heard, because how, where else can you go? You know, that's the only place they know and they call home. So we try to limit, everybody's trying to limit, even the Ministry of Health is trying to help with anything relating to these children in our home. But it's just the new SOPs for us, it's just limit visitors. Most of the homes would do the same. And without, that's the sad part. We do appreciate visitors because children need to have interaction. So having volunteers or having CSR activity gave them a different kind of insight. And they can communicate better and all that. And also, I have to admit that donations come in droves for things like that. So with this kind of new SOP, it's just hard just to stay afloat because everybody's trying hard with what they have.
So we've mentioned orphanages, of course, and you talked about your transit home for pregnant teenagers. We've also heard of elder care homes really shutting down because of the risk of spreading COVID-19. I just wanted to get you to outline for us the specific challenges that are faced by these different sorts of care centres.
Most of it is actually something similar where all of us are talking about our resources. That's the same. Now, if you want to outline the differences, is the thing is, right, different group caters, they need different needs. So if we talk about disabled, they also have different needs. Like my babies, because they're all mothers, we actually need male figures to come in and actually hold the baby because of the eye contact and all that. If it's children's home, we actually need more volunteers to actually enhance the word play because they've been cooped up. So most volunteers would create play for that. So these kind of different need is now worth us to be on hold, not knowing when we can see the light. And we try to use all these gadgets, and gadgets give out different problems. And then there's lack of gadgets, and then there is lack of data and money again. Now, for elderly care, the best I've heard and the best that people are doing are by volunteering to call them up. So they call. They just call or create Zoom chats and things like that just to have this kind of connection. But this is really new. You see, this is really new because in the end, all this that we're talking about is to make sure that we are still being mindful and mental health is the utmost care that we need. Because one person in a crowded home breaks down, I mean, you can imagine the mayhem in the whole house. So we are just trying to make sure that everybody is safe, following SOPs. It's easier said than done because these, especially in children's home, they don't really actually understand. We've been cooped up, we follow rules, and then yet we have to stay quiet and then don't do stuff, you know, but we have needs. And if we don't make them, if we don't make them understand why is this happening, then they couldn't cope with it. And then the lack of going out, playing out. Remember there was the time, no playground, you cannot go to any playground, you cannot play sports.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for children. Is it? Because that's part of growing up. So this is the hardest part in running homes because we just want to make sure everybody is taken care of because one mistake of COVID case, there goes everything else.
So what does happen when someone tests positive for COVID in a care centre? How do they manage the isolation and all that?
Okay, before this, when the number is very low, so basically the isolation is done through an institution, meaning that you can put the person away, you know. But no homes would have an isolation unit. So touch wood, when that happens, it's just lockdown. And I know certain homes said that if it happened in our home, we will just bear with it. Like, we'll put there, but then there's nothing else that we can do. We don't have any resources for that. Mm-hmm. It's not right. I do know government-run homes, of course, that they have all the government-related agencies to help out with isolations. But when it comes to NGO-based homes, we just have to make do with what we have. It's not the best. It's risky. So the best we can do is prevention from any of that. And we only hear in the news when things go really big, like the one in Kajang, like the one in Johor, then we'll get scared. But in the end, I know that by the last experience in Johor, the idea was if it happens in this house, total lockdown for the whole house. So we probably put the person in a room and we make do with that kind of makeshift.
And how about the caretakers? From your knowledge, how are they coping?
Okay, the caretaker are the strongest people inside their home. Okay, most of NGO homes, we have the minimum requirement possible inside their home. So it's not possible for them to fall sick or their families to fall sick, is it? Because they run together to build this kind of home. Changes, we do see changes in the sense of different timetabling and all that. But so far, for homes that has run for quite some time, they are, it's not just passion, but their hearts at the same place. So at the same idea, vision for this home. So that should be okay. But newly run homes and who is based on volunteer basis, volunteer caregivers, that might be a bit difficult. And for most NGOs, because if you are registered, you can still produce a letter for you to actually go to work. So that's not so bad so far.
So registered care centres actually come under the purview of JKM, right, at the Department of Social Welfare.
Yeah.
What sorts of support does JKM provide in this situation, and what more do you think needs to be done?
Well, they come out with whatever MKN has been giving out, as in the SOPs and all that. There are a lot of guidelines that they try to share through their social media websites and all that. But resources are very limited. And at first, there's a lot of giving out of hand sanitizers and face masks. That's pretty much it. In the end, it's all about the new known practices. So these kind of resources, they have limitations. It's about new known practices. So we all know that there are limitations anyway. We better find out ways or practices that can actually help our kids and our beneficiaries. That's pretty much it. I'm not going to sugarcoat that.
So what are some ways that the general public can reach out to help, even if it is the MCO right now?
It's easy to say monetary, but to be honest, apart from money, I do see some homes who actually offer if you can help out in utility bills, grocery bills, and some of them actually, they ask for input such as Zoom counseling, therapy based using social media and gadgets and all this platforms. But one of the best for me is to keep on giving hope. In all homes, including my pregnant girls, actually, because they cannot go anywhere. You see, and some homes, some children's homes are not totally, they're not all orphanage. They're not totally orphans. Sorry, they're not all orphans, but some of them are coming from poor families where they can go back once every 2 months to see their family. And then now they cannot go anywhere because it's safer just to be in one place. So a lot of NGO who does work on mental health do reach out to these homes and offer services by phone, which I think is very good. I think communication and letting a space where they can share is much needed. During the last festive season and Ramadan, I know a lot of homes actually do get a lot of help from public, which is great, but you know, it's the best part is the communication between those two parties, the communication between the CSR companies or the public towards this home. Because the first question they ask, how are you guys coping? It's not like, what do you need? Not like before, like, what do you need? Now it's more like, how you guys are coping? Is everything okay there? It's the same thing as the story in Kajang. I think it was a neighbor who actually make it public to say that this home need help.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You see? And that is the wonderful part of the story. And you know what? Even when my NGO wanted to donate, it was nearly 3/4 full already, the donations that they needed. You know, in just few hours, 24 hours like that. So the public are concerned, but we also need to know that what's happening in these homes. So that's why we want homes to actually explain what you guys are doing and is there any way we can help out, because the children are all cooped inside. The elderly are all cooped inside. Especially We miss out one group called the daycare centres, which sometimes can open, sometimes cannot open. But daycare centres are very important, especially for children with special needs. So you see, to get public to be interested in these homes or institutions around them, meaning that if you're in Cheras and you know there's a home in Cheras and the community actually asks, because now we cannot even cross, what do you call that era? Sorry, but you cannot even cross here and there. You might as well look at all these homes and institutions around your area. And that's where I really want people to be active with such homes.
Syed Azmi, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was social activist Syed Azmi from Rumah Bonda, a transit home for pregnant teenagers, speaking to us about how care centres are faring under the pandemic. Do share your thoughts with us on this. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.